Sunday! Every Sunday, side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Greeno and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Hear relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Eat, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway side. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Even!
Yes, yes, you've tuned in to Motor Mouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show here on the island of Long, as well as the greater tri-state area, with your host, Ray Guarino, and the man who has more trees in his life than Carter has pills, Chris Switzer, who's up in Connecticut. How are you, Chris?
Oh, we're doing well up here in the nutmeg state. It's just all the nutmegs are lying on the ground right now.
Yeah.
Everything is good. How's everything down by you in the island of Long?
Well, I am happy to say that we do have power where I am. We didn't have it earlier in the week. Mm-hmm. You know, the storm kind of devastated everything, but we came out of it fairly unscathed, just some trees, a tree down, and deck damage and stuff that I was out there. It pretty much took me all week to do this because I was doing it by myself. But we're okay. There's still a lot of people out in Jersey and in Long Island. Queens, especially, is
Queens and the Bronx.
You know, and I was explaining to my wife today that in Queens, as like in Connecticut. Well, out there, your houses are spread out more, but in Queens, the houses are close. I'm talking Astoria, Middle Village. What was the other town? A couple around that area. Can't think of the name of it right now. Anyway, the houses are close. There's cars all over the place, and there's these old trees. And when they come down, they're coming down on power lines, cars, and houses. So
sure, yeah, we have a neighbor up the road from us that Dawn saw on Facebook. That the tree broke free from neighbor A, fell onto neighbor B property next door, and the rest of the tree is hanging over neighbor C's property.
Wow.
Three neighbors are in effect affected by this fallen tree. So the insurance companies are probably going to have a ball with that. But I was thinking, we were doing a very good, what would you say, a generator, a small engine maintenance repair show, the pre-show that we always do here at Motormouth Radio, which sometimes I think is better than the show we do.
Yeah.
That's what we should do. We should start doing a generator, small engine Briggs and Stratton repair episode just for times like these. Because if you think about it, people would be relying on the generators. Whoever thought about having a generator, whoever thought about going to get their chainsaw or anything like that, and they're thinking to myself, oh gosh, we should have maintained it, we should have started it, and they're looking in there and they got gummy gasoline or the spark plug has got spider webs on it or whatever have you. So this was probably would have probably been a good time if we had prepared for it to do a to do a small engine.
I am kind of prepared for like you said.
Good, glad you are. I'll follow along.
Here's the elixir. Listen, we have spoke about this on this show quite a lot. And let me preface it by saying, if you want it, then it just happened this week. If people want to get in on this, they should be able to give us a call today on our alternate number, which is 516-256-9510.
Write it down.
And follow us on social media, on the our website, and Twitter and Facebook accounts are Motormouth Radio, and on Instagram, which is Joe's favorite, it's real
underscore
Motormouth Radio. And that's where we put up some pictures of our failed generators and things that we get involved with. But you can get in touch with us that way. I see the finger. What the finger?
Yes, and I suggest you call now because we never know when this phone is going to break on us. We never know when technology is going to crap out on us. So please, by all means, if you have the inclination, give us a call.
Right. So you have an excellent question and topic there, Chris. The small engine stuff, you know, we kind of partnered. We were involved with Bill Lindsay from StarTron many years ago.
Yes, and, we did.
You know, he told us a story from, he's in Florida, where his generator was stored after an event, and he did what everybody else did. He didn't drain the gas and let it sit for a couple of years, and it was a big, big storm coming in Florida. His wife freaked out and said, get the generator working. And he determined, you know, he opened the cap, and the gas was like, oof, forget about it.
Right, so he drank two cans of StarTron, and he was super.
And then peed in the receptacle, right.
Right, and don't do that.
He drained it all out and took – and he said – he told us at the time, you can run an engine on StarTron. And yes. I said, wow. So he did that. He got that darn thing running. And, you know, since then, I've preached it to many, many people to use this stuff or any other product like that. The thing I happen to like about StarTron is it's not only a fuel additive, but it's an enzyme treatment. So it basically neutralizes the effects of ethanol in the gas, which some other treatments don't do.
And it also took care of that rash on my back.
Yes. But you grew hair there instead. So now it's like just what you needed. So anyway, the thing.
No, it doesn't take care of the rash on your back.
Keep the small engines treated. But if you happen to have something, you know, like your generator or other pieces, you know, small engine that is affected, you want to drain that gas and crap out. And if it's really bad, the thing to do is take the bowl of the carburetor off. There's usually one screw on the bottom of it that you can pull out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can see all the crap that's in there. Yeah, you'll see all that nasty, nasty stuff. And then you have to get in there mechanically and clean it. And now you have to use your cleaner of choice, whether it be carburetor cleaner, fresh gasoline. Some people will use any kind of a thinner.
And mind you, this all takes time. It's not like this is instant. So you by the time the tree is hanging, you know, there's debris everywhere. You need that piece of equipment now. The lights are out, and you're sitting there frustrated. You're working in the dark with flashlights trying to clean the gunk out of your carburetor, and it's just, that's when you start kicking yourself in the head saying, I should have used, or I should have prepared and used the StarTron. So it's totally right. What you're saying is completely legitimate, and we support it completely. You're absolutely right.
But you know what, Chris? At that point, and there is a video up on Motormouth Videos that shows it encapsulates this very well. Yeah. It was done back in November of 2018.
Well done.
And, you know, if you're at that point, you know, shame on you. Okay, you let the thing sit. You didn't. So now, you know what? Now you're behind the eight ball. It's either spend the time and clean the thing out, drop it off to a shop, and hopefully they'll get to it because they're probably busier than anybody right now.
Oh, yeah.
Or pay somebody to go clear the tree out. You know, I mean, pick your poison. You know, it's like at that point, what are you going to do? You got to do something. So, the carburetors now, truthfully, a lot of these small engine carburetors, I've heard of people buying them from Amazon for like $20. They'll get a replacement carburetor for their small engine.
I actually did.
Yeah. You do need to know the type of engine, the manufacturer. You're going to need to know, you know, like, say, Briggs & Stratton or Tecumseh. You're going to need to know the model number, possibly, of the engine, the size, and maybe some carburetor information, which is usually all on the device. It's on the lawnmower. It's on the snowblower, whatever it is. And then you can swap it. You may want to put on fresh fuel lines. They're easy to change. The fuel tanks are usually plastic. They're under that top shroud. Take that off, clean it out. I mean, this is a problem that's never going to go away because people, let's face it, when the event is over, everything is over. Just put it away, close the door, we're done. You know,
right.
But that's the time to do the maintenance.
Exactly. I was just going to say that. That's when everybody puts everything away and they leave it there so we can collect dust and spider webs. And this is the time to do it.
Right.
The time is when this clear the spider webs off it, and do your diligence, do your maintenance. I actually did. I bought a carburetor off Amazon, like you said, it was between $20 and $30. And what was nice about, the carburetor, I used it on a weed whacker. And I thought to myself, I spent $15 for the weed whacker. I figured I'm just going to get the knowledge. Just the knowledge alone would be worth it. So I bought the carburetor, and I had both of the carburetors, and I did exactly what you said, took the model number down and bought what I thought was the right carburetor. It just showed up a little different. Like there was just the adjustment screw was on the wrong side. It was that sort of thing. So what I did was I took them both apart and put together a working carburetor. I used the body from the old carburetor and used the guts from the new carburetor. And they're really, you know how these things are. They're not that complicated, especially a two-stroke carb. It's not. It just lets air in. I mean, that's all it does.
Right, right.
And was able to put together a working model. And of course, it's the what was nice about this carburetor kit was it sent, I would say, about 6.5 feet of fuel line. So,
yeah, nice.
So I have fuel line to beat the band right about now.
You know what gets me with that? I had borrowed from Pirate Paul a few years ago. He has a gas-powered edger. And yeah, he found it in someone's garbage, and he knew that it was, you know, the gas powered ones, and it's an old one with the metal blade on it. So this thing,
oh wow,
60s or 70s,
yeah.
And he just told me, I think that, you know, the gas line was leaking a little bit. So I said, no problem.
I think I saw one of those in a horror movie, but
yeah, oh probably. So I went to change the gas line with parts that I had on hand, and I couldn't get my new line to fit correctly. It was all too large. It was some of those fuel lines on those small equipment are oddball sizes, and all I could find now, even going to the repair shop, was metric style line, and just nothing really fit perfect. Mm-hmm. And the big problem was, I mean, you could get it a little bit larger to go over the nipple and just crank the clamp a little tighter. You can do that.
Right.
The problem with this was the way the fuel line went through the fuel tank. It actually went through the plastic tank, and there was a filter on it. That was the seal, was the line
yes.
in the hole.
What and a pain in the butt. Yes.
Couldn't make that stop leaking. So, yeah. So uh-huh. That was – but, yeah, I gave it back to Paul, and he eventually – he had the parts in his stash, and he got it fixed. So,
well, the last – I mean, you didn't have to chuck it through a second floor window. You know, we found it in the bedroom.
So. Right, right, right. So, yeah, so that's the kind of stuff we're going through now. You know, it's – yeah, you're going to see a lot more of it. It's – this is the time when there's an emergency, people – need those generators. I don't have one. Like we were speaking, I don't have one. I was talking with my wife about it. I'm saying I always wanted the full whole house Generac type generator. Right. But now we're talking about how much longer are we going to be here? We're talking about maybe relocating and, you know, retiring and moving. I said, well, it'll give a little a boost to the value of the house. Probably not as much as a new kitchen or bathroom, but
right
on the South Shore of Long Island, I mean, you know, the power. I mean, listen, we haven't lost power really since Sandy. So that's like 8 years.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, we've been lucky.
You have.
I mean, an occasional blip or the transfer, you know, maybe like a quick little flip. I mean, like power out for hours. We haven't had that happen since then. So, you play the odds. It's like insurance. You know, you're saying, hey, I'm going to get hit by a bus. I need the policy. And they're saying, no, you're not. You're going to live a ripe old age. Pay up.
Pay up.
That's what it is.
Pay up to take that bet.
So, yeah.
Yeah, the way I had it set up, I know the Generac and the permanent generator next to your house that automatically switches on is thousands of dollars. And yeah, I've seen them priced upwards as high as maybe 10, 12 grand.
Generac,
and
you're looking at least 10 and up, yeah.
Yeah, so I go, yeah, they'll break the budget. But what I did was I hired an electrician, had him come into the house, and he set up the house to accept a generator. So he ran that second line. I don't know. He did his electrical magic. But he told me, and what we were talking about during the pre-show, he's an electrician of Italian descent. What a surprise. Mm-hmm. And he said to me, he said, Christy, you know what I want you to get? I want you to go over to Harbor Freight. I want you to get yourself a Mama Luca generator. That's what he told me. And, of course, this is the second time you're hearing this story. And I went, sure, I'll go. And I went over to Harbor Freight, right in Bridgeport. And I went, hey, I said, I'm looking for – John asked me to go get a Mama Luca generator. So, of course, let me show you the Mama Luke generators that are over here. And, of course, I bought one. Right. You know, I guess it was the sales pitch. But it was only $1,000 compared to, I mean, it's a lot for a generator, but compared to a 10 grand price tag. And all I have to do is do the necessary switching.
Right.
Make sure you have a good flashlight
right.
To do the job, because you have to shut stuff off, switch stuff over and flip stuff back on again once you plug it in and fire it up. But I do the necessary maintenance on the generator now, and all it's really been in the last 3 years has been firing it up, let it run, get all the gas out of it, and yeah, I guess eventually throw the StarTron in there, or any sort of gasoline stabilizer du jour, whatever works. And that's really it so far, and I've now had the generator 3 years, and it fired right up. I think I started it up back in March or April.
Yeah, you have what's called a transfer switch. It is manual and automatic. The automatics will switch automatically.
Automatically.
So yours, what you know, just so if people don't know, what you should do is kill the main breakers on the house.
Boof. Right.
Then you deploy the transfer switch. This way you don't get a backfeed through the lines.
And, yeah.
You know, it just isolates the circuits that are controlled by your... Because your transfer switch probably doesn't power all of the circuits in your house. It's necessary ones. It's... You know, the ones that you've chosen to have that generator power up.
Yes.
So that's the way that goes. But, yeah, you know, it's something that could be done by yourself if you know electricity. But I would say, if not, hire an electrician, right?
There are times where you don't want to open up the book and start learning. And you know what? I got to keep that cow carcass in the freezer cold.
Yeah, so, I know.
You know, it draws a lot of flies.
I know. So. I want the ice cream. I want to say this. You know, I've talked about this all the time, every year on, you know, especially after the winter where we talk about snowblower maintenance. And yes. I'll repeat it for the people who haven't heard it possibly. When the gasoline in the device, I always have treated with StarTron to, again, combat the effects of the ethanol. Mm-hmm. So it's already pre-treated. And then what I do is as I'm running it out, just let it run out all the gas. I want to store it dry. But as it starts to sputter, what happens with those engines, any engine, it's like a light bulb gets bright. Well, an incandescent light bulb. Some people aren't going to know what that is in a few years.
Yeah, right.
Just before it burns out, it burns brighter.
We know people that way.
I know. Yeah. So when it looks bright, you're like, oh boy, your time is short.
Buddy. Yeah, right. Yeah. Time to say goodbye.
Same thing with the engine. Just before it's going to stall and run out of gas, it runs very lean. And when it runs lean, the idle increases.
Sure.
So I monitor it at that point because what I do is to get all the gas to the pickup side of the fuel tank, I'll literally tip the machine, put blocks under it so that all that fuel goes one way. And then as I hear that idle come up, I pour straight StarTron in the tank.
You say that three times fast.
Oh, no, that was with the new teeth, it was tough enough.
Right. So,
literally, the last fuel that goes through that line and the carburetor and the engine is straight StarTron, and it'll die with that in place. And like that's my method of assurance. And whenever I start those engines again the next time, fresh gas, boom, they usually fire right up. I've never had one that didn't.
That's a really, really good idea. I should try that. Because I'll pick the hottest day in August, and I'll roll the snow blower out there, put it in the middle of the driveway, fire it up. Okay. And let it run there. Just let it run. And you have to see the looks of the people on bicycles and joggers that go by. They see, they're like, what is Chris doing? What is he preparing for the winter already?
Yeah.
Pick the
I don't have to worry about that because mine have been now pickled after the last time I used it. So it's good until the next time I use it. And I have that big, I have two snowblowers, the one small little two-stroke and the big Mama Luke, you know, two-stage, the one that I hate to take out because it's a workout. And that one sometimes, luckily, stays in the shed buried for 2-3 years. Like last year, I never took it out. We didn't have enough snow, thank God.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at you genuflecting.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I just lit a candle. Wait, I got to have a Novena.
You got all the statues upside down again. Yeah.
So if you want to tell us your fuel story or your horror story, give us a call at 516-256-9510, and we will gladly talk to you about it.
516-256-9510. Write it down.
Remember. We had an issue. A problem came up yesterday into my purview. Ooh. Our friend Tori, you know, Tori is the fellow that I met when we did Playing in Traffic. He was early on, came in. Now he does. He's kind of Lou Santiago's booking agent, kind of talent guy. He's what he does is, on his own sideline is, he sells all the components to rebuild any type of rear end that you may have, be it a Ford, GM, Chrysler. You know, he sells the clutches, the posi stuff. And
oh, wow.
You know, he said this week he had ordered 3 Mosher rear ends complete for people. So, you know, that's kind of what he, that's his niche. But what happened is he has an 07 Trailblazer that had a, the blower motor, the high speed on the blower motor failed.
Which is a separate circuit from the other speeds, isn't it?
Yeah, there was typically a thing inside. It was called a tower. In back in the day, like you would remember in the 80s vehicles, it was usually in the AC box outside under the hood. You'd take out 2 screws and pull out the, and it was a big power resistor that was in the heat sink and all. Well, on the newer vehicles, I know this because I did one at the shop on the Silverado. It's the same configuration. You pull a panel down under the glove box on the passenger side.
Right.
And the blow motor in the Silverado, at least, is a round squirrel cage. Just comes right out. But that, now they, Joe, when we got Joe involved in this yesterday because, of course, you know, we had to get some real information fast.
You brought the Almighty in. Whoa.
Oh, yeah. Big guns.
You brought Uncle Lavunge in there. Nice.
And Joe said, let me tell you something. He says, it's not called a blower motor switch anymore. But he went on and he goes, it really is a module because it is a, it goes on with the computer control. So there's a, you know, 2 wires that go to the blower motor that actually activate it. But then there's 3 or 4 wires that actually take the signal from the, you know, from the control head. The problem Tori had is the ones he found online. Instead of having a three pin connector coming out, they had 5-pin connectors coming out.
Ooh.
And I said, yeah, we talked about maybe cutting and splicing, but not knowing which 3 to connect, right? So that's why we got Joe involved, and Joe sends me diagrams like this with pictures and diagrams. And
of course, that's his forte. Yes, of course. And if you cut the red wire, it all blows up like a James Bond movie.
Of course. Right. So I found out one interesting thing, that those modules are capable of powering blower fans that go from 3 to 7 speeds. So any combination of those 5 pins gives you that, you know, bigger control. So it isn't an impossibility. And the document Joe sent me was we were talking about a conversion harness to plug into the original to the 3-pin to give you the 5-pin out. And basically, I think we got this solved. Tori's going to have to buy this aftermarket module and then do a little bit of splicing. I found Joe told me to check out this guy online, and I haven't watched him in a while, but now I've watched a number of his videos. South Main Repair. He is in New York somewhere, upstate. The guy is very good. He's a good technician, does a lot of electrical diagnostics. So he did a video on this, on a vehicle just like this, which is what I looked at and sent to Tori and showed him, okay, this is the deal.
Right.
But I got to tell you something. I'm looking through his channel, and the next video that pops up that just came up was doing a rear brake job on a 93 Chrysler K car. It was like a LeBaron. And there's the back of this car with the drum off. And I said, oh, I got to watch this. I got to watch this.
And there's some fool with a sledgehammer trying to beat the bejesus out of it.
His rear, the front, the leading brake shoe was down to the metal. It literally had. So he already had the drum off. He didn't show us the surgery to get the drum off.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm going to send you a link to this video later because I know you'll want to see it. But the thing that impressed me, and at first I was appalled by it, and then I was almost impressed. He did this whole brake job. There we go. He did the whole brake job with a screwdriver and a pair of needle nose vice grips.
Yes. Oh, yes.
You boob. You're in a shop. You're a technician. I know you buy good tools. I see them, and you use it. And he said, well, there's a tool for this, but I don't want to go over and get there. He is with his vice grip.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then I said, after a while, I'm like, you know what? I've done stuff like that where I've used the wrong tool because I was too damn lazy to go get the right tool.
Ray, it wasn't even – I'm telling you, you know, I had such a hard time with this brake job on this car. The easiest part was exactly what we're looking at right now, pulling the springs off. Well, they were secure, don't get me wrong, but you couldn't get the brake tool in there to snap the spring off. It was – the tolerance was too close. So I used a regular vice, a needle nose, or I used a regular needle nose. That was the only way to get them together. And do you know how I got the springs back on? I hung the springs on the brake shoes and then applied them on the back of the brake, what?
The backing plate.
The backing plate. Put them on there. Yeah. And they bent. they bent and hung on, and then I put the retaining springs, the round circular retaining springs on there. It was easy. Chris, you didn't need a brake tool.
I want to actually write a comment to him on this, because the way I learned to do brakes, and I still do it this way today on drum brakes, is I take those anchor pins out, I take the springs off, but I leave the shoes connected with the adjuster, pull them off, put it on the bench, and then build the new ones like that and put them on as a unit. And I'm saying, you know, on an earlier car, there's a lot more room. These things that pivot from the bottom, there's so much less room in there, like you know.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking, dude, if you would have done that, you would have saved yourself all that problem working in that confined space behind the axle hub. But hey, you know what? Hey, listen, everybody does it their own way. But I had a chuckle because I'm looking at the rust, and I said, something about that.
That's clean compared to what I've seen. That rust and that crud is clean compared to the bottom of the lake version of the rear brake suspension and issues that I had to deal with. This thing is spotless. But the only spring I had to hang back on where you had to pull on it and hook it on was that top spring that connects the brake shoes together that sits right under the wheel cylinder.
The one that has the hook in it.
Yeah, that's the only one that I had to do. But everything else I did exactly what you said. I built it right there. I didn't go and grab a hold of the smaller lower springs and kind of bring them on. No.
He throws some comedy in too. He shows you here how to check the wheel cylinder for actuation and to see if it's frozen. And he pulls the boot back and he says, okay, you know, it's nice and high and dry. He says, but if you did see brake fluid in here, he's like, just change the boots. He's like, no, change the wheel cylinder. I like it when guys throw in that comedic, because you know, as a guy who does it, like, okay. But no. somebody else is going to believe it. Like, oh, just get new boots and it'll be a problem.
No, it's also the fact that car guys generally are not funny.
most of them are. Yeah.
Most of them are not. We're not funny. They're not funny guys. We're just two people lucky enough to see the humor in it. But 99% of car guys are like, what do you mean by that? But yeah, it was the easiest part of the job. The torments that I had doing what we're watching now, the easiest part of doing the rear brakes on that 93 LeBaron was simply putting the brakes on.
Right.
Because I had the brake tool sitting right there, dude. Yeah. I had it right there. I sat on it a couple of times, which hurts. Yeah. That little, you know, that claw that sticks up, boy, it gets you. But yeah, it was not the hard part of the job at all, right. At all. It was actually the hard part of the job was removing that wheel cylinder. That was a rough customer.
Well, when you have a rusted line, that's the worst that any of us face.
Yeah, it's the truth. And I always keep forgetting how old the car is.
I know.
It has gotten to that point where I look at that LeBaron and I go, it's a 93. It's a new car.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It's what? It's 27 years old? What is this? I'm like, you know, and you start to kind of compare, because I think, well, I owned my 68 Electra in 1984. So
here you go.
You're like, wait a minute, that wasn't that old.
Right.
You know, and I keep thinking it's an old car. So sure. and now with, like I've always said, with the 69 Chrysler, it's sitting in the garage. I go, that thing is 50 years old. And I'm like amazed by that. GTO, but then again, your GTO has been rebuilt hundreds of times, so yeah, it's
Steve Austin, that car.
Your GTO is technically, if you average it out, probably a 2005.
Yeah. No, but I think that too, like you said, when I drive my Fiat, it's a 79.
Right.
And I think, and the reason I think we don't have those fears is we know what we've done as far as maintenance and repair parts. So, you know, and you also know on the other, because other guys have admitted it, and I've said it to myself. It's a thing you don't usually say out loud, but as you're driving around, like you may have to do like a hard stop because somebody runs out, a car comes out in front of you. And that's in the back of your head. You're like, you know, I never changed that rear brake line. And that's like, I'm not going to say nothing. But like, you know, yeah, I never changed those brake lines. And I won. You know, it's in your head.
It's, you know, it's those times when you leave the house and you get to where you're going, and then you realize you don't have your wallet in your pocket.
Oh, yeah, I did that one last of those week. Times.
and you drive home like a grandma. You're just like, doot, 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 because you don't want to get pulled over. You don't want anything to happen. I have absolutely no identification with me.
So right.
Drive nice and slow.
Yeah.
Same way. With like that brake line that you go, I never change that brake line. How do you drive home? Nice and slow.
Yeah, but you know what? You get home, and then the next time you go out with that car, it's like the slate was erased. It's like, oh, what do I got to do? I got to go to the store. I got to go to this. I got to get the parts.
Completely forget about the brake line.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but then you'll remember it again at some other point. You know, you definitely do.
Of course. Right. When it goes. When you're waiting for the driving light, and all of a sudden you're...
Right.
On the pedal goes all the way to the floor.
We've all had that happen, yeah.
Yes, we have.
All right, we should curtail this happiness and take our break.
Ah, that's a good idea. Do you need a Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour?
Yeah, and I need my screen back. Yes, what's the Honor Group of the Hour, Chris?
The Motormouth Radio, glad you asked, Ray. The Motormouth Radio Honor Group of Hour this week. If you have a car show event t-shirt for every car show you've ever been to, now all of a sudden it doesn't really fit very well because it's turned into a midriff. Well, you're part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour, and you also have some very, very cool rags to wash your car. So if you have that t-shirt that's sitting and collecting dust and all rolled up in your drawer that you've never touched or no longer fits, or you used it to wash your car, you're part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. There you go.
Don't we all, right? I'm getting the t-shirts are piling up like crazy, but
yeah, right. I don't know what to do with my English Town 1983 t-shirt. So
yeah, you can't fit into it anymore, right? All right.
Yeah.
Well, while we ponder these things and others, we're going to take our break, our bottom of the hour break, and we'll be back with more Motormouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, and we will let's hear from some of our friends here on 90.3 WHPC. This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
This show is brought to you by On the Road Again Motorcycle School. Hi, I'm Steve Bertolini, the president of On the Road Again Motorcycle School, and I'd like to tell you that life is short, so live a little by learning how to ride a motorcycle. Classes are available from beginner riders to advanced, including private lessons. Lessons are offered on the campuses of Nassau Community College and Suffolk Community College, also offering the license waiver class, where you can skip the DMV. More information about On the Road Again Motorcycle School can be found by calling 631-862-RIDE. That's 631-862-RIDE. Or online at lrn2ride.com.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 5 for 2 hours of Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities, an occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 5. On Revelations, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
All righty, you're back with Motormouth Radio. Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer here to talk about all your car concerns, maladies, foibles, things you've broken, things you want to break, things your neighbor broke, things he thought he broke, things your wife accuses you of breaking, and things you're going to go out and break today. But give us a call.
Just after waking up.
Right. 516-256-9510. We'll be happy to talk to you about all of that cool stuff.
Yes, because I'm sure everybody's outside enjoying the day right now because it's a beautiful day out there.
Right.
Especially here in the Constitution State. Looks pretty good out there. Yeah. Yeah, we a little bit of excitement going on in the Switzer household. We received our damaged Mazda back repaired well, I must admit. Was very pleased with the repair. And nice. What I did find interesting was we were discussing, as we were discussing price and what was to be done, I pointed at the headlight covers. Now, on the Mazda, the CX-9 has a lot of headlight surface on the top of the, what would you call it, the bezel? I guess if the lack the of a lens. Better word.
Yeah. Yes.
And we will get to that right after we take this phone call. How about that?
Okay.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to the fun and say hi. You're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
Gentlemen.
What's up, Robert? How are you, sir?
Good. I'm good. I'm out washing the cars out in front of the house.
Good man.
Hey, Bob, let me ask you a quick question about that. After that, yes. After the storm that came through Tuesday, were your cars unusually dirty or were the windows untypically schmoozy? Because ours were. I mean, we had crap on the windows. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. I had a... Well, the house next door is being worked on, so I'm getting debris all over, you know, and I mean, I'm getting dust debris all over the house and cars anyway.
Okay. All right. So, what's going on otherwise?
Well, you said horror story. So horror story is Tom doesn't call because I'm ready, brother.
Yeah.
I'm ready for the can.
I found a bottle of Patron Cafe in my freezer that I didn't know I had. So I'm drinking cafe flavored tequila now, buddy. That's going right in my evening brew.
Oh, you're a man right after my heart.
Hell yeah.
So listen, when you see a guy from StarTron,
yes,
tell him it worked out perfectly.
I'm gonna reach out to Bill Lindsay and see if I can get him on the show. I'll see. Maybe for next week. We'll see.
I put a, I read that and mechanics in the bottle. So I read this stuff, and they said you can't overuse it.
Right.
So I put one bottle into 1.5, and I put another bottle into another 5 gallon. And the only thing that I had to do for the generator was I had to feather the choke because it was running rich.
Sure. Right.
Okay. But other than that, please go ahead.
So, like I said, Bob, the thing was, I've run the stuff straight through the engine on just that as the engine's dying. That's where I run straight through it, and again, it'll burn it. It does. He's right. It so yeah. No worries.
Mm-hmm. Well, you tell that guy it was a good product, and the other one, as I mentioned, was mechanics in the bottle, and they're well worth it because. My 2 5-gallons were, their shelf life was just about ready to go.
Gas now only has a few months. It's like, 3 to 4 months and it's starting to turn. But I was going to say, you can go on either Twitter or Instagram and StarTron, they have accounts on there and you can actually comment, in a public forum if you'd like with them. They probably have a Facebook page as well. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you guys are okay. And, I'm going to get back to washing the cars and I wish you guys well.
Okay, Bob. Thanks for calling.
Always a pleasure. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All righty, Bob. So you can be like Bob and give us a buzz at 516-256-9510 and share your stories. So we were talking headlight lenses on a Mazda.
Yes, but you are right. Just to sidetrack for a second, yep. I did find some very – it was almost like a blue sort of haze that was all over all of the windows on the cars that we left outside. And you're right. We couldn't figure it out. I cleaned it all off because it was tough to see through.
I didn't know – we didn't have a color to it, but I saw it like – when I looked at the car at the curb through the house, I said, oh, my God, look at those windows. You can just see it. It was
– Yeah.
I don't know what it – I don't know. Well, it is what it is. It was what it was. It'll wash off.
Yeah, it does. But getting back to the headlight lenses, I was talking to the body guy about it, and I mentioned, I said, it looks like it was like checkered, and it looked almost distorted, like there was like a haze or a film at the top of the lens, not at the front of the lens, at the top. And I kind of pried this vehicle on its The headlights are incredibly good and incredibly accurate on this car. One of the best set of headlights I've ever seen, Ray. And
nice.
I can only tell you that.
How are the high beams?
Oh, the high beams are high. But anyway, so what ended up, we were talking about, and I says, I think that the damage is on the inside of the lens. Because I tried scrubbing it with the blue compound, the blue headlight lens compound, and it would not come up. He said, once we get the front of the car off, once we get the bezel, the fascia off the car, he said, we'll take those off and we'll polish them. He says, we'll sand them down. And I was like, what do you use? He says, 1,000 grit sandpaper. 1,000 grit, sand them down, then we'll polish them, and then we'll clear coat them. Right. And he said, this is what he told me. Now, like, I don't know how true this is. This is just relaying the information. Because he said that the factory puts one coat of clear coat on those lenses, and that's what breaks down, and then starts to eat away the plastic. He said, we put four coats on. And I'm like, okay, I'll believe you. I'll take your word for it. I'm not going to count them, but I'll take your word for it.
I got to tell you something. You know, we have two Mazdas in the family. And the Protege, the lenses started fogging out on me a number of years ago, you know. But my Mazda 3 lasted longer than I thought it was going to last. I mean, it lasted only just a couple of years ago. The car's an 06.
Yeah, so, I can't believe it. It's that old. That's amazing.
So I used a couple of the home polish kits. I have one from Meguiar's, one from, I forget who the other one is. Yeah, the homes, they give you the sandpaper, they give you the polish and the buffing. We put in a drill. And good results. But last year, it was in the winter, I remember. I had my car in the shop. I did something to it. I don't remember what. And, you know, Mike Jr. walked through, and he said, damn. He goes, when are you going to have me polish these headlight lenses for you? And I'm like, when are you going to get your polisher, dude? Like, the car is here. And he went and got his polisher. And the stuff that he uses, I think he did do 1,000 grit wipe quick with the paper. And then he has a polish that he, you know, all guys have preferences. So
sure,
I can't tell you what it is that he uses. I can find out. But he used it on his buffer, and he did it expertly. Chris, those lenses came out like crystals. I mean,
really?
He goes, you know, in about another 6 months, we'll just have to touch it up again and do it again. He goes, but this is, he goes, these are actually good lenses. These really didn't, they're not as bad as a lot of others. So maybe maybe Mazda used a better material. I don't know.
Yeah, there are some cars I'm thinking offhand, like
Fords.
Yeah. And also mid-2000 Mercedes, the C-Class with those round headlights.
Yes.
You know, they're always beige.
The cataracts.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, how do you see through that? You get like this, it's like looking through a tan crayon. I mean,
my daughter's Stratus, the Dodge Stratus, which was based on the Mitsubishi Eclipse, that car was terrible.
Yes.
Terrible.
Yeah. But you know what's funny? My Pathfinder, the lens would only cloud up at the top of the lens, so the headlights always looked like half asleep. Like, you remember those those covers that the hot rodders put over their headlights? That's what it kind of looked like. So I would go out there and polish them, and the polish would work very well on the Pathfinder lenses, and it would come out great. But it, like you said, it would last for 6 months, and it would start to cloud up again up on top, and then I'd do it again.
Yeah, they're all a little different, and the ones that are really bad, like I've seen with the Fords and the Mercedes, shops, what they do is, like, just replace them. Like, no, you need headlights. You need headlights. Sorry.
Yeah.
You can't. Some of them are too far gone is what it is.
No, it's true. And I found out the aftermarket ones, I was mentioning to them that they were coming in at about $250 a piece. And I said, well, I'll just swap it out. And, you know, it's so funny. You know how people make lurch noises?
Yeah.
And the guy I was talking to. The guy I was talking to, Billy, goes like this. He goes, I wouldn't use those. But he went and priced the lenses, and they were, for Mazda, the dealer wanted $1,100.
Yeah.
Check
a Beamer or a Mercedes. You'll find it could be that per a piece.
Oh, man. No, that's what they were, a piece. $1,100 for a Mazda.
Wow.
I was like, yow. Okay. So we didn't need them, thankfully, but he polished them out. And here's what – remember I always talked to you about the power of suggestion and what you put out into the ether? All you have to do is make the statement, a simple statement you make has such strength. Because this is what I said about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I went, you know those headlights? I got to do something about those things. And I did.
Yeah.
It cost me a good chunk of cash.
Right. Right.
But I did, and my wife said to me, she said, you should have clarified the statement.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, just to back up to the beginning of this story.
Yeah.
Last week we were talking about whether you were going to cross a bridge to find a place, but it right. sounds like you found a local guy.
I did.
How did you vet the shop out?
Well, it was kind of funny. I was making some phone calls, and there were people. I went to go and priced it out. I went to some places. There was one place that I thought was very good, and I went in. It was open. The individual that I spoke to came right up to me. Of course, we had our masks on because we have to practice our social distancing. And he was very nice and cordial and gave me a price that was fair and had really everything was fine about it. And I thanked him. Took the piece of paper and I left. And I said, when can I do the job? He answered all the questions correctly. He said, a couple of days and I'll call you whenever. He says, I'll even give you a free loaner car. I was like, this is very cool. Yeah. I said, this is very cool. Then I went to another place that was a little different because I pulled up. Now I made an appointment with all of these people. So of course I make the appointment. I pull up. I'm out right on time. And I look at the place. It's down an alleyway between two private houses and the gate is rolled closed and there's two doors on either side. It's like
that's how you used to buy your provolone.
Yeah, but still do.
Down the alley through the gate, knock two times. Say cheese.
Get the provolone. I get a set of tires. I get a set of snow tires.
I know you like the super sod. You always like that crappy stuff. Yeah,
couple of used bicycles. We get it all. I can get you some Formica kitchen tops or whatever you need.
Right.
So I go down the driveway. Both doors are locked. Now I look in the closed garage door window and I see the place is running. There's cars being fixed and people. It's well lit, but the door's closed. You can't get in there. So as luck would have it, a worker comes out and I said, is so-and-so here? I have an appointment with so-and-so. Is he here? Nah, he just stepped out.
Who's asking?
I said, well, when will he be back? I don't know. Thank you. Turned around on my heels, and I left. Got in the car, and I left. I was like, not a good vibe at all.
No,
not a good vibe at all. So these are the things that I would strongly suggest. Oh, and mind you, the person that recommended that place, I called them and told them. I told them what happened. I wasn't going to write it down on any sort of forum. I wasn't going to put it online. I just went and told the person that recommended. I said, this is the experience I had. You can keep recommending them. That's fine. This is the experience I had.
You know, I got to say, as you were describing that, provolone aside, I had a thought, an image of a guy here who I deal with.
I love when provolone sparks your imagination.
I know. Yes. It's kind of like, and Joe actually just got in touch with me and said, hey, sounds like Muscle Car Ray. There's this guy, Muscle Car Ray, who... You get all your muscle car parts from him. You know, Mike right. deals with him at the shop. I've dealt with him. I bought wheel well moldings recently and a few other things. And he has this warehouse of stuff that only he knows how to get in. And the same thing, like you got to call, make an appointment. If you go there and he's not outside in the driveway doing stuff, it looks like the place is, you know, abandoned. But you know, he will show up. But recently now, he's been coming to us. He'll come to the shop and bring stuff down. Like, he was bringing us a lot of stuff for Chevelle and then some parts for my car.
Yeah, because you can't have an attitude like that anymore and keep it stay in business.
Well, and the thing with him is he's kind of like the only guy doing that. So people know. Well, you know, the issue is with him many years ago. Kevin and I have been dealing with him for many, many years. I mean, go back to like the early 90s, I guess.
Wow.
And at one of his shops, he was actually, it was like held up and shot, you know. Ooh. So he got a little weird about having guys coming in at night, picking up parts, you know, because it was a second business for him. So right. that's when he started doing the appointment only thing. And like, you got to know a guy, you got to know a guy. I don't blame him. I really don't, it's not worth your life,
No, of course not. But what was actually good about, and this is something that you can totally understand, when I was discussing the damage on the vehicle, we were talking back and forth, and I had mentioned to the body shop owner, I said, I need everything back on the car that came off the car. I said, I'm working on a 93 LeBaron. I gave him my example. I says, I got something in the garage now that it must have been hit at one time because it must have gone through a collision shop because there are certain pieces on the car that were supposed to be there that are not there. And you look at it and go, wait a minute, there's supposed to be like a piece of plastic panel here. I said, so if we're having this exchange, you fix my car, I come out and I look and there's plastic panels missing. And I go, well, where what's wrong? How come this is missing? You don't need that. I said, that's an answer I don't want to hear.
Right.
I said, I don't want to hear that answer. You don't need that. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
So he was cool about it. But then he said to me, well, what are you missing on the LeBaron? So I told him, I said, there are pieces, Ray, I don't even know what they're called.
Uh-huh.
It's and just really just a sidetrack here for a second. Front of the car, you have between the front nose piece and the radiator bar that the radiator sits behind, there's an opening. And on some of the cars that haven't been through collision shops, there's two pieces of plastic that go across there. It's like a finisher. Like a finisher panel.
Yeah.
Try and look that up on the internet.
Actually, you know what? I have a book that I could look it up in. I have a collision and crash guide.
Scrunge a beepida.
Yeah.
You're never going to find it. He couldn't find it. He actually turned around, started looking. These were the things that I appreciated about having a discussion with a collision shop guy. Then he said, well, let me look. So he started looking. What is this? Oh, the motor manual, import car crash.
This is the crash data. Estimating data.
Nice. That's pretty cool.
This is the old yellow pages from.
That's a phone book. Holy moly.
And
so, yeah.
This is Asian from. Your car being it's from A to MA. So yours would be Chrysler. I'll look it up for you.
But it's not an import. That says import.
Right. It does say import. Right. The LeBaron's. There was no import stuff on there. But I got these all from Ray Miranda when he left with Atlanta Collision Close. He was dropping off tons of them. I just kept the ones that I wanted.
Wow. But yeah, this is what – so these are the things. So he said to me, he goes, all right, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you numbers to salvage yards in the area. I'm like, dude, you are gold.
Right. Right.
And it's like you're saying, you have to know a guy.
Yeah.
Because – the salvage yards that we need are not the type of guys that know how to run a computer or know how to advertise very well.
Right.
And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. They know what they know. Yes. And that's all they know. And that's great. That's what I need.
Right.
So you have to talk to people. And that's what he said. He says, yeah, there's a place up in Brantford. There's a place out in Wethersfield. There's places here. And I'm like, this is fantastic. Because if you look online, no, they're not there. So this is what, and he said, it's the type of place you can't make the phone call and go to. I mean, can't make the phone call. You have to go there. You have to go and see. You have to walk in and say, I need this part. Oh, the car's in the back. Maybe that's what you need, that potluck business.
And I tell you what you bring with you is the tools we talked about last week, those clip removal tools, because that's what holds that panel in.
Oh,
those
yes.
rivet clips.
Correct.
Have the right tool to take it apart, and you just pocket all those clips because you're going to need those.
You need them. Sure. Yeah. They cost money. And of course, you're never going to find
those. You can get. No, Mike gets those at the shop in boxes because in the collision business, a lot of those are destroyed in a bad accident.
But how many styles of those clips are there?
There's
thousands of
there's
those
a lot
styles.
And like we said, manufacturers have specific ones. Toyota is not the same as a Honda, it's not
right.
the same as a Mazda, and some of them are the same. They use some interchange, and some are mm-hmm. like I said, I was dealing with my daughter's Toyota. No, her she's got a Honda. What does she have? She has a RAV4.
they're all the same.
And hers, the clip, my Mazda, you pull the clip up. Hers, you got to push the center down. It's just the opposite. So you got to know what you're dealing with. But those are all available. And even good, you know, like auto parts stores who deal with the body shop trade, like Colvin by me has body shop supply. They stock a lot of that stuff.
There's a place on Hempstead Turnpike, Eagle Paint.
Okay.
I miss Eagle Paint.
Okay.
It was a very good place. It's still there. At least I hope it's still there.
Yeah.
They had a 4x8 plywood sheet.
Yeah.
In the corner of the store, and had every single one of those clips all attached to that plywood right. sheet with a number on it.
And each was nine.
Yeah, very cool. It was like, you know, a fast food menu for fasteners. And I went in there with the fastener for the back of the Pathfinder because when I lost the wheel, you remember.
Oh, yes.
The bumper got pushed back. The the back fascia got pushed back and knocked all the fasteners out of the right behind where the tailgate comes down.
That's what people were skidding on the parkway.
Yeah.
Like bearings.
They must have all, literally, I opened up the tailgate, they're all gone. It wasn't like they were, I found them in like a heap. No, they were all gone. So I found there was one. So I was like, good, there's one. I have one. I can go match it up. And I went over there, and I'm standing at this big plywood sheet of wood, looking with this fastener going, yeah, it's not that one. Yeah, it's not that one. No, it's not those three. No, it's not that one. And believe it or not, I didn't find it. I had to call. I had to go right to Nissan and get them and then spend like $20 for six of them.
Yeah.
But that's what I had to do. That was the case. It wasn't pretty. But there's 8 billion designs, and they're all so specific. They're all so specialized in the job they do.
And I'll tell you this. You can the diameter is usually the same. So you can you could use Honda clips on a Toyota. Because I did this. Yeah, I saw Mike do this one day. He asked me to come in and look at a vehicle, look over a used vehicle that his friend wanted to buy. I'm like, all right, well, what am I? So I'm looking at what I know, and then he opens the hood and he starts calling, and just that he's like, well, these clips are wrong, this bolt was out, this one is like, because he has a collision background, which I don't have, and I look back and I said, hey, Bunky, I said, what do you need me here for? I said, I'm giving you like, well, the drive shaft looks good, yeah, it doesn't look like any rust. I said, you just picked this thing apart to like a micro level that I could have never. I'm like, you don't need me here. He's like, okay, go home. I'm like, jeez. But no, that's the stuff he knows because he estimates. He does the estimates on the car.
Sure, sure.
And that's what he told me. No, Ray, he goes, you know, Hondas have this type of clip. Toyota has this kind of clip. This is a Toyota clip in a different car. And I'm like, damn. Wow. It's like, wow. He'll tell me sometimes, how do you know all this stuff? Like, it's just old, useless information. I'm looking at him like, how do you know all this stuff? And he says, well, it's just because what I do at work, you know?
Wow. That's pretty amazing. I couldn't tell. I always thought I had that eye. No way. I'm not that microfine.
But if you were in the business today, you would, because you would hone that skill.
Sure. No, totally. I totally agree. But that's what that was the problem and the lament with this LeBaron. If there were pieces that were missing. And I should have known when I looked at it that I was like, ah, that it's been hit.
Yeah.
But I think the way we just talked about earlier in the show, you look at a car and you go, I could fix that. And you move on. You just go, yeah, you have the confidence level to go, yeah, I could replace that and move on. That's it. So you don't have to have any consternation over it. But there are times where you don't see. Where I'm looking at other LeBarons, because of course I'm on the LeBaron forum, and that you're looking under the hood and you see this finisher panel that's there, and I'm like, wait a minute, my car doesn't have that. Right. And now you start researching it. Like, what in the world was it? Missing on my car in that year? No, it was supposed to be on that year. So you go back and forth, and then you realize the panel is missing. Now you research, okay, I'll go buy one. Right, who the heck has got one?
All right, let me tell you what is finished. This show is finished.
Yes.
We got to get out of here.
All righty.
We're going to come back. Hopefully we'll have a guest next week, maybe Tony D'Agostino, maybe Jim from StarTron. We'll see. But for Chris Witzer, Ray Guarino, we're out of here. Chris, what do we say?
Don't follow us home.
We're out of here on 90.3 WHPC.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.